Good morning to all this morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered together here with you this morning. Appreciated that devotional and introduction to a good introduction to what we want to look at further this morning. The topic I'd like to think about this morning is God's grace. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, grace is one of those subjects that is kind of hard to wrap my mind around sometimes. What really is included in this little four-letter word, grace, or five-letter word, excuse me? What really is all involved with it? Well, we'd like to look into that this morning. The subject of God's grace. Probably part of the reason that we have trouble wrapping our minds around it is because it is a big subject. There's a lot included in the thought of God's grace. And Tim was just talking about, can we stand? Well, we won't be able to stand unless we partake of God's grace. If we have God's grace in our lives, then we can stand. And so we'll look at more of that as we go along. So what are we talking about when we mention grace? When we say things like, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace," what do we mean by that? When we are talking to someone and we tell them, will God give you grace to handle your difficult situation? What are we really saying by that? Or we say, God give you grace to handle your responsibilities, something you've been given to do. what do we mean by those kind of statements? Are they just nice jingles that we're supposed to say, and so we say them, and it sounds good, we wish God's blessing on someone? Well, there's more to it than that. So, thinking about grace, the word grace appears, the word grace permeates the New Testament, most of the New Testament. Luke and John are the only two Gospels that use the word grace. Matthew and Mark don't have grace in them, the word, that is. Grace is used in all of the New Testament books from Acts to Revelation, with the exception of 1st and 3rd John. So all the rest of the New Testament books have the word grace in them. Grace is also used in the Old Testament, but is used considerably more in the New Testament. The Old Testament, the word occurs 39 times in the Old Testament. The word grace occurs 131 times in the New Testament. So thinking about some general references to grace, 1 Peter 5, verse 10 mentions the God of all grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 refers to the dispensation of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 talks about the gospel of the grace of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says to grow in grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 mentions the possibility of being fallen from grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 talks about receiving abundance of grace. So this thing of grace, it comes from God. We live in its dispensation. We have its gospel. We are supposed to grow in it. We can fall from it, and we can have an abundance of it, but really, what is it? What is grace? What are we really talking about? Well, first of all, we want to look at the meanings of the word grace. All the translations to the word grace in the New Testament from the Greek language all come from one Greek word except for once, and that's in James, where it refers to the grass, and it says the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. That comes from a different Greek word, but all the rest of the instances of the word grace are translated from the same Greek word in the New Testament. The Strong's definition for that word is graciousness of manner or act, and the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. So, grace is God's influence in our lives and the evidence of that influence in our daily lives, the outworking of that that influence. Now, I went to the English dictionary for the word grace, and so the definitions I have come from Noah Webster's 1829 dictionary of American English, and these definitions give us a bit broader scope in what's included in the thought of grace. Grace is favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another. So it's an expression to someone else. Another definition, grace is appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. So grace, it's God's favor and benefits that we don't deserve. It's unmerited, and it's free. So that's what grace is, free, unmerited favor of God and the benefits He bestows on us. Number three, grace is favorable influence of God, divine influence or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. So we have transforming grace, renewing the heart. God's favorable influence in our lives to renew our hearts and restrain us from sin. So we have transforming grace and enabling grace. Enabling grace to live above sin. A fourth definition, grace is the application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. So grace brings God's power to transform us and enable us and to do righteousness because we have no righteousness of our own. So grace is the application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. So, kind of lengthy definitions, breaking it kind of down into more of a condensed form. So, grace is God's favor and kindness towards us. It's God's unmerited favor that brings us benefits we don't deserve. Grace is God's divine influence in our hearts and the application of His righteousness to sinners. So, putting it in my own words then, grace is God's program for humanity. We live in the dispensation of divine grace, and grace is the theme of the New Testament. We noted that, how many times it occurs in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul begins and ends all his epistles with grace. If you look in all of Paul's letters, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's all of Paul's letters begin with grace and end with grace. And so Paul realized the importance of grace. So grace is God's program for humanity. Now we talk about programs, you know, for example, Christian Aid Ministries, they have a lot of different programs for people. There's a firewood program. You can donate money to provide firewood or wood stove to somebody in Romania or something like that. Or there's blankets that go to hospital patients, or food to starving children. You know, there's all kinds of programs that CAM has you can donate to. Well, grace is God's program for humanity, and we'll look into that a little bit more. I have an acrostic for the word grace that I'd like to put up on the board here. So for the word grace, G stands for gods, and that's not multiple gods, that's possessive. it's God's program for mankind, as we mentioned. it's what God has provided to meet the needs of mankind. R is for resources. It's God's resources, the work of Christ, the atoning blood of Christ to atone for our sins, resurrection power to live above sin. And Tim mentioned the Christian armor. Those are some of the resources that God provides for us. A stands for available. God's resources are available to us. They're free. They're unmerited. We can't. We don't deserve them. We can't earn them. They're free, but they're available. The resources that God has given us. C stands for cancel. cancel. God's program of grace brings forgiveness of sin and cleanses us from sin. It cancels the debt that we owed that we could not pay. That's part of God's program of grace, is forgiveness. E stands for enable. Grace brings to us enablement to live above sin, to obtain eternal life, to have the hope of heaven. It's enabling grace. To live a transformed life. And so so grace, putting it all together in a nutshell then, grace is God's resources available to cancel and enable. Pull it out there where you can see a little better. So looking then at what the Scripture says about God's grace, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. Talks about grace here. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So verse 17 shows us here that Jesus brought grace to us. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was the dispensation of divine law, and that came by Moses. The New Testament is the dispensation of divine grace, and that was brought by Jesus. backing up to verse 12 here then, we have forgiving grace that takes away our sins. He says, but as many as received him, to receive what Jesus has done for us, his plan of salvation, when we receive that, we can have forgiveness of sin, and our sins are taken away, and we can be restored to a relationship with God. And that's what it mentions next. The power to become sons of God, there in verse 12. So that's enabling grace, enabling us to do something we cannot do on our own. Verse 13, we have grace given by God. It's unmerited. It says, which were born not of blood, not by a certain family lineage or a bloodline become sons of God, and nor of the will of the flesh. Nothing that we can do, anything that we can accomplish to merit salvation, that isn't possible. It's not of the will of the flesh, but it's the will of God. That's grace. God's free, unmerited gift to mankind. verses 14 and 16 talk about how Jesus came to make saving grace available to us. So he, again, is our resource in grace. So it talks about here in verse 14 that he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. And then verse 16 says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So the fullness of grace and truth, we have received that by Jesus Christ. And grace for grace, it's God's influence in our lives to help us take part in the program of grace. And so it's grace for grace. Grace builds on itself in our lives. So again, it's more than we can really wrap our minds around in a few minutes here, but you can think on it more later. Now go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we'll look at two verses here. This is Paul talking, and talking about himself here in verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. And it's God's program that he has put in place to help mankind, the gospel of grace. Now jump over to verse 32 here in Acts chapter 20. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So here we have the word of his grace. So our Bibles are part of God's program of grace. it's the gift we have to know how God wants us to live. Now, there's many people in the world that don't have that blessing, but we are tremendously blessed to have God's word in our hands. That's part of God's grace, the word of God's grace, and the word can do things for us. Pretty phenomenal things here it says. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So again, enabling grace. and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. So again, the word of his grace. The word can do things for us that we can't do on our own. And so the importance of the word is, we can see that very clearly. Now to go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14 here. Still looking at what the scripture says about grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So verse 11 here, again, it's God's program. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Grace is God's program. It's providing the resources for salvation, and it's available to all. Bringing salvation, and it appeared to all men. So again, it's free, unmerited, it's available, and it's bringing God's resources of salvation to us. Verse 12, grace enables us to forsake sin, teaching us to deny things and to live soberly and righteously. That's God's program of grace. What grace does for us, it's transforming grace. Again, grace provided Jesus' work to atone for our sins and to cancel that debt of sin. And also divine enablement to live above the world, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So that's what Tim was talking about in his devotion, standing today. Well, Grace makes that possible. It's God's influence in our lives to enable us to stand. verse 14 here. We see redeeming grace, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's the work of Jesus, to redeem us, and that's part of God's program of grace. We also see purifying grace. He may purify unto himself a peculiar people. So when we take part in God's program of grace, we're going to be different than the world around us. It's going to change us. We have to live above sin. All right, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we're having the contrast here of Adam and Jesus, and what Adam did and what Jesus did. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So, again, here in verse 15, it's God's program. The grace of God and the gift by grace. God's program, making available the resources to help us by Jesus Christ, to help us with the problem that we couldn't take care of ourselves. And it's available and free to those who will accept it, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So God's grace is available. The resources that he has provided for us is available to anyone who's willing to accept it. Verse 17, we see redeeming and transforming grace again. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So redeeming from our state of sin to a state of righteousness and reigning in life, transforming and redeeming grace. Verse 20 talks about divine law. divine law brought an awareness of sin. The law entered that the offense might abound. So the law by Moses brought an awareness of sin, but it didn't provide a remedy for sin. And so divine grace did much more abound and provided help for our sin problem. So divine grace is greater than the law. Verse 21 then, grace reigns in righteousness, enabling us to have power over sin. So even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So again, God's power, or God's program for us, his influence in our lives, enabling us to be transformed from a life of sin to a life of righteousness and receiving eternal life. And that was brought to us by the work of Christ. Now, the thought of grace is continued in the next chapter here. And so we want to look just a little bit at about misunderstandings about grace. we read what Paul writes here on in chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. So, thinking about verse 1 here, Paul raises this question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, we look back at verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we look at those verses, and so if grace is so abounding, then it shouldn't really matter how much we sin, because God's grace is enough to just keep covering and take care of that sin, right? It shouldn't really matter how much we sin, because grace is so much more abounds than sin does. Well, that's not quite correct thinking. Verse 2 here, Paul says, God forbid that we should continue in sin that grace may abound. That's not a correct understanding of grace, to think that we can just keep on sinning because grace is enough to just cover anything, any of our sins. that's accepting the forgiving aspect of grace, but it's rejecting the transforming aspect of grace. So that thinking would stop here with the letter C. God's resources to cancel our sin, but we have to go on to letter E. Grace also enables us to live above sin. Jude talked about this as well. In Jude chapter 4, or excuse me, Jude verse 4, says here in Jude verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So lasciviousness here has the thought of loose living or a license to sin. So I think this is exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 6 there, where he was saying, shall we sin that grace may abound? Well, here Jude is saying that there's going to be people that have a misunderstanding of grace, and they turn the grace of God into a license to sin and loose living. Well, Jude says to do that is denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a serious thing to have a misconstrued concept of grace. And so that's why I think it's important for us to think about grace and to try to understand it, because if we don't understand it and have a wrong view of it, it's the same as denying God and Jesus. So to think that we can to think that we can just go ahead and sin all we want to because grace is enough to cover our sin and more, that's false thinking. It's not understanding the concept of grace properly. So, again, grace is God's program to not only cover our sin, but also enable us to live above sin. Now thinking, what is our part in relating to grace? Back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. What is our part in relating to grace? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, our part to do with grace is faith. We must believe in God's program. We must accept it as the only program that can remedy our problem, that can bring to us new life. It's the only program that can remedy our fallen nature, that can transform us, is God's grace, God's program of grace. So we have to believe in it, and by faith we can have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So faith gives us access to justification by grace. Faith gives us access to what it takes to have peace with God, forgiving grace, the work of Jesus, the resources that are available. We have to believe and accept them by faith. Verse 2 then talks about wherein we stand. So that's enabling grace. We cannot stand before God on our own efforts. We can't stand in the Christian life by our own strength. It takes forgiving grace, transforming grace, and enabling grace, and then we can stand. So that's what he's talking about. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It's with God's help. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So grace is what makes us strong. So that's what Tim was talking about in the devotions, was standing. Well, it takes God's grace in our lives, God's influence, and his resources available and utilized in our lives. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Verses 4 to 6. Galatians 5, verse 4. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So again, without faith, we fall from grace. So it takes faith to engage in God's program of grace. We may try to justify ourselves by the works of the law. Here it talks about whosoever of you are justified by the law are fallen from grace. So we can try to justify ourselves by works. We can try to earn God's forgiveness by good deeds. We can try to transform our lives by making better choices. We can try to stop sinning by our own willpower. But if we do that, we are fallen from grace. It's our program then, not God's. We are still under the law with awareness of sin. We don't have anything to take care of that sin problem. And so Christ's sacrifice is the only thing that can atone for our sin. Nothing that we can do can atone for our sin, but Christ's sacrifice is the only atonement. So grace came by Jesus Christ. We can only enter into that unmerited favor of God by faith in what Jesus has brought to us. Backing up in Galatians here to chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6 says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So these people had had been called into the gospel of grace. They had apparently partaken of that, but then they had been removed unto another gospel. So if we try to gain God's approval by another gospel, by another program than his grace and the resources that it brings to us, we are removed from grace. Another part that we must do to take part in grace is repent. It takes repentance on our part. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So, verse 6 here, we can only have God's grace when we humbly acknowledge our need of it. says, but he giveth more grace, but God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So, humbly acknowledging that we have a need that we can't fix on our own, that is how we can receive grace. Verse 7 here, we must submit ourselves to God. We must submit to God's terms and reject evil. We have to submit to what God says is the way it's going to be and accept that as absolute. Verse 8 says that we must reach out to God for his help. draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So our part to do with the program of grace is to reach out and take hold of it, to draw nigh to God. Verses 8 to 10 also describe repentance. Sorrow for sin. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. Be afflicted and mourn. And humble yourselves in the sight of God. Verse 10 there. When we repent, then God's grace is available to lift us up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So again, enabling grace. When we humble ourselves to realize our need before God and accept what grace brings to us, then God can lift us up. We can be enabled to live above sin, to live a new life. Well, how does grace work out in our lives? excuse me. How does grace work out in our lives? When we ask God to give us grace for our task, we are saying, give me your divine enablement to do what I can't do on my own. When we ask for grace to help us in our situation, we're acknowledging that we're insufficient and that God must take control. When we ask God for the grace for our tasks, it's asking God for something that we don't deserve and we can't earn, but it's freely offered. We're accepting what he is offering us on the terms that we cannot repay and that we cannot earn it. It's simply a free gift. So when we wish someone God's grace for their situation, we are really wishing them God's resources to enable them to do what is right in God's sight. To endure, to hold fast. We're wishing them God's influence in their lives to do things they can't do on their own. That's what we're saying when we wish someone God's grace. When we sin and realize it and repent in humility, God's grace offers us Christ's work to atone for that sin and to and to forgive us for that sin. And then grace gives us divine enablement, makes that available to us to live above that sin so we don't do it again. That's part of grace as well. Grace enables us to live in righteousness. So grace brings to us what we need to take care of our failures and our faults. So there's forgiving grace, there's redeeming grace, there's transforming grace, there's enabling grace, and it's available to us as a free gift from God. It's totally free and it's available, and we can't earn it. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The word manifold there means motley, or that is, various in character. So, do we see the various facets of God's grace? That's what Peter, I think, was referring to here. The manifold grace of God. It's enabling grace. It's forgiving grace. It's transforming grace. There's, and the list goes on, of what is involved in the resources part of grace. Well, how much grace is available? 1 Timothy 1, verse 14 says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 9, verses 14 and 15 say, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Romans chapter 5, verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So, there's exceeding abundant grace. There's it's an unspeakable gift. There's abundance of it, and we can't exhaust the resources that God has. So, let's do as we are instructed in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There's more resources than we can exhaust, and so there's no reason we can't come boldly to the throne of grace, where there's enablement and resources that are more than we can use up. So, and as we do that, as we come boldly to the throne of grace, we can experience what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. He says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." That's the work of grace, to make us perfect, establish us, strengthen us, settle us. And we find that available at the throne of grace. So let's avail ourselves of the grace of God. Let's take part of God's program for mankind, and by the resources of Jesus Christ that are freely available and that can cancel our sin and enable us to live in righteousness. So, lives that please you. Bless us and keep us as we go from here. Help us to be faithful.